This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
Welcome to The Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. We are talking with local leader, Helena Brook, from As Bi in Arizona. Welcome, Helena.
Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, let's start with the history of the group and what the group is about.
Okay, so AZ Bi is about a year old now. I guess I've been pretty active in the bi community for about a decade. There never really was much of a community here. I guess fast forward a few years, and AJ Walkley, one of our bi community's national activists, moved out here, lived here for a few years, and her medium is writing, and on a national level, she's written about bi issues in Huffington Post and some other publications. It was pretty interesting, even though we only lived about half an hour away from each other, we were both just so busy that we didn't meet up until a few years after she moved here. So we went out to happy hour after work one day, and, you know, activists, we can't just lament about, you know, something and not get anything done. So we were talking about how there wasn't really much of a bi scene here, and kind of looking at other cities like Minneapolis and New York with a bit of envy, and we decided to start a new local organization. And since both of us care so much about the issues bi folks face, we decided to move just beyond focusing on social programming and incorporate things like overall health and well-being into the values of the organization. So then I got kind of busy filling out paperwork to register an organization in Arizona as a nonprofit and got a tax ID number, started sifting through the IRS information and videos about what can and can't be part of the organization. And we're still working on getting nonprofit status. Those things are like an obstacle course for those of us who aren't tax experts. We have a core group that's diverse in terms of socioeconomic background, gender, neurodiversity, family structure, education, ethnicity, disability, politics. And, I mean, it's just really important to us that everyone have a place with us, because the bi community has a history of inclusivity. And even and especially here in Arizona, where, I mean, you guys know the political climate, we want that to be really strong. So, anyway, in late 2014, we had two happy hour get-togethers in the East Valley, one in downtown Phoenix, a coffee get-together in the Midtown Phoenix area, and a bowling event about an hour away in the Northwest Valley, and a coffee event up in North Scottsdale. And we've been helping out and mentoring some emerging bi activists in the area. AJ and her partner ended up moving back to the East Coast a few months ago, so things haven't expanded as quickly as we both had imagined at the time. And since Arizona has such a small bi presence, I guess it can't really be called a community yet. Any small move forward for the community and visibility is pretty huge in my book. So we have about 250 followers on Facebook and 50 active members, and I'm hoping to engage more of our followers as the organization continues to grow. Arizona is actually a little weird because there's not really a physical, tangible community here for the larger LGBTQ community, much less the bi community. So, I mean, we have Pride, we have a community center, a film festival, but the quote-unquote community isn't really something you can just show up at and say walk through or find. So some of us have been doing some digging online, and we found pockets of bi individuals across and outside our county, here in Maricopa County, and there's a bi women's group out in a little town called Goodyear. They have a few events scheduled that are sort of themed around sex education and kink, for example. Then there's a guy out here, Greg Ward, who is in the process of starting a new organization called Fluid Arizona. It's probably going to be a social group, a social organization. We let him use our office space over the weekend to film a new video with a few friends, and it'll be exciting to see how that shapes up. I've been sort of helping him get to know some other bi activists around the country, and it'll be really interesting to see where it goes. And then, of course, there are some other groups in the area that are bi-friendly, which one of them is called Phoenix Gamers. I guess it's spelled G-A-Y-M-E-R-S. And they're pretty bi-inclusive. So at this point, we're thinking of using our Facebook page to cross-post all of the other bi and bi-friendly groups' events, giving everyone a sort of a community hub.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, you've actually kind of started on this, on my question, but what would you say the main things people are looking for when they're seeking out a bisexual group?
I think by far the biggest reason people seek out a group is to find others like themselves. We've been told for so long that we're in-betweeners, out of place, deviants, haven't really figured ourselves out yet. but we know who we are. And by just being in proximity to other bisexuals, we advance in self-actualizing, and we just kind of chip away at that isolation. As far as programming, I think people are really just looking for a social venue to make new friends and sort of be 100% themselves. We also have a few members who have children and teens, and being out to their kids and getting to know similar families is important to them. I also think that while folks might not necessarily lead with their needs or desire for medical and mental health resources, that's pretty huge. We're all normal, not really any different than the cross-section of the rest of the world that, you know, that might identify as gay or straight or ace or other identities. However, we know as bi-activists that our needs aren't really being met, and people want a safe space to discover new resources, you know, bi-friendly therapists, doctors, child care providers, people who don't hold bigoted beliefs, you know, spiritual communities, bi-friendly work environments. And of course, there are many people looking to meet others to date, you know, find girlfriend, boyfriend, partner. And that's important too. We're social creatures. We want companionship. But I think we're still trying to figure out how, you know, and if that's part of our group's ambitions. For now, it really isn't. But of course, these kinds of connections happen organically. And, you know, a few people have met through our group. So.
Awesome. So what would you say has been your biggest challenge in getting the group going?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, I think it's a challenge that our biggest challenge is just how spread out the community is. And I think that's not really unique to the bi community out here. You know, whether it's immigrants' rights issues or really any kind of organizing out here, Phoenix is really spread out. Even holding events, we get, for our group, we get a different crowd from one side of town to another. So there's really not as much cohesiveness as would be really, you know, optimal. Our bowling event drew entirely different people from our coffee shop and happy hour events just because they're like an hour and a half apart in driving.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to serve and make a community space for such a large area, which can be a bit daunting. But, I mean, I think, you know, some events like happy hour are more social space for adults, while bowling are great spaces for kids. But, I mean, that's kind of our biggest challenge. It's, you know, there's really not a single place where people congregate. And so it's kind of like herding goldfish, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, and taking the factor if it's really hot, people aren't going to travel very far.
Yeah. I mean, on the flip side, though, you know, 8-9 months out of the year, it's really beautiful to have outdoor events, and you don't really need to plan alternatives. So.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, I will say, you know, you might think it's just Phoenix, but, you know, D.C., I mean, we have, like, a noted ghetto, you know. I mean, it's actually too expensive for most of us anymore. But, you know, it's still the same thing. We have events in different parts of town in Virginia, Maryland, and D.C., and we attract different kinds of groupings based on where we're doing our events. Even, you know, in the exurbs of Virginia, it tends to actually have more diversity because there are more working class people out there. And so you're going to find that kind of diversity. And then I'll go into my question. So what are the tools, social media, et cetera, and you answered a little bit of this already, that work best in reaching the community out there?
Well, Facebook has actually been pretty solid. Not as much the page, but using social bi groups to pass on information sort of as a conduit for that. So some of our members found us through listservs that I didn't even know about, but I traced the info back and found out that it actually started through just passing the info along on Facebook, which is really nice because we have such a diverse group of bi activists on there that the information just sort of spreads like wildfire. I also love the idea of using YouTube to promote events and show people that we're actually real and that we're actually here, but AZ Bi hasn't done that yet. One of our newer activists that I mentioned earlier, Greg Ward, who's starting a new organization, is really, really solid in video editing, and he's got some stuff up on YouTube already. He's experimenting with that for a group that he's trying to get off the ground, and I'm really hoping that he'll find success through that medium because it seems like that's okay. Where the trend is going.
Yeah, I'll just do a quick follow-up and say, you know, what we call viral marketing, you kind of just said it, that you put something on a Facebook group and it gets the mailing list and it gets into other venues because people are kind of volunteering their time in like sharing stuff. And that's such an important thing for us as, you know, building, because when you're doing that kind of viral stuff, you're actually that person who is that sharer has their own networks that you might not have access to, but because they're doing that, you're gaining more access to their networks.
Yeah, I want to just say to all of you out there who always share and post and do that, you are actually doing activism when you do that. So yeah, kudos for you. You're all activists, because none of us have any money to advertise. So this is how we get things out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty amazing the outreach that Facebook has had. And because our community, I guess over the last 20 years, people seek information on a global scale. And a few people who found our event through a listserv, it wasn't a local listserv, it was a national listserv. I think one of them was a bi men specific listserv. And I can't remember the other one, but these are national lists. So if you if you're an activist out there and you live in Arkansas and you're posting about something in Phoenix to a national group, you know with certainty that someone in Phoenix is going to pick it up. And I mean, that's been really huge for us. And the fact is that our community really isn't that small, but we seem like we are just because we have you know, we have so few financial resources, but it's just so amazing to see how what we can do on a grassroots level.
I'm amazed all the time. Really quite proud of this all.
And there's a million different things that you can do as an activist, and one thing that will help us a lot is, you know, doing that sharing, because that means that we can focus on other things too, right?
Absolutely.
So let's switch gears just a little bit. And you and I were talking last week about a project that I'm pretty excited about. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I'm really excited. I've been speaking a lot to interrupt. There's another person who stepped out here to take a call. Can you guys hear him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We'll wait. Let's just wait for him.
Okay.
We're okay.
Okay.
As long as we're not keeping you away from your job or anything.
Oh, not at all. And I don't know if John was on the call before when I mentioned, like, this is totally my first rodeo with this. So, you know, excuse me for sounding really nervous.
Don't worry about it. Everybody is. And, you know, you'll be an old pro.
Okay, cool. All
right. Put a little bit of,
you don't sound nervous.
On the saddle. so you won't fall off. On the rodeo theme.
You don't really sound nervous. You sound fine.
That's an old cowboy trick.
I've never heard it before, and I've known some cowboys. What was it again, John?
Put a little glue on a saddle.
Oh, glue on the saddle. Oh, I have heard that. I thought you said something else, and I'm not going to go there.
That was almost what I thought
mind.
I heard.
Yeah, get your mind on, back on the street.
Okay, so the new project, it's called Bi Healers Network, and it sort of came about when Faith Cheltenham from BiNet and I were talking on the phone, and I mentioned that I'm going to be starting grad school in marriage and family therapy this fall, and she was talking to me about how there's a group called Bylaw that's kind of a nice networking group for lawyers and bylaw students and people who are concerned with bi issues in the legal field. And she was telling me how, you know, there's really kind of a vacuum right now for networking for mental health professionals. And, I mean, just the people that I know or even know of just in the U.S. and Canada, I mean, there's a group run by Esther Vincent. And actually, there are people all across our country who are doing amazing things as far as bi visibility and mental and medical health. I kind of think they're one and the same. That's sort of my philosophy on it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in New York and the Westchester area, Estervin has a group of bi and bi allied professionals working in mental health.
that meet pretty regularly. There's a media outreach campaign through an LGBT health organization up in Toronto that's specifically directed toward bi individuals. There are pockets in Minnesota and in Southern California, and the thing is that all of these groups are doing amazing things, but there's not one hub for everyone to network through. And so pretty much, like, I'm trying to bring together mental and medical health professionals, mental and medical health students, and then academics and lay people who are interested in advancing these causes. And it's going to be sort of a venue to share best practices, collaborate on media and educational resources, extend the reach of already successful endeavors that people are working on and succeeding with right now. And then also one of the biggest things is getting information about grants and funding opportunities out there for us, because now that bi people are finally, getting better reach in the media, especially with the celebrities that keep coming out, I'm really hopeful that more bi organizations and clinicians can get funding so that we can serve our community's needs. Because at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, what kind of media acrobatics we do. Like, there are suicidal people, there are suffering people, there are people in our community that need our services.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Oh, definitely. I would say one of the things that I would hope that you would put lots of effort into is to do training of mental health professionals for bi competency, because I think that is a big thing that's missing. And, I've talked to therapists who work in an LGBT community exclusively who would love to have that kind of training and feel that they need it because they have bi clients and don't know always what to do and what to say. And so that would really be one of the things that I would strongly suggest that you put effort into.
I would absolutely love to organize around that. I know that the two clinicians that are on our board here in Arizona at AZBi are really interested in pushing continuing education programs and opportunities for their peers. I know that I think nearly every licensed professional in the country needs to have continuing education. And I think there are a lot of ways that we can, bring bi issues even into the ethics requirement, which I know that it's one of the strongest requirements that mental health practitioners need. We're also going to be doing a newsletter/journal that'll be either bi-monthly or quarterly as it gets going, and it's going to be highlighting bi professionals and bi resources throughout the country, and sort of sharing not just what they're doing, but the model they're using, how it originated, and how other professionals might be able to start something similar in their own communities, so that we can really, advance forward without reinventing the wheel, and sort of, strengthen the support network around the country for bi professionals. Also, I know that there is a really great resource list on the BiZone website, and it's actually pretty current. I think they update it pretty regularly with bi, I don't know if it's bi competent or bi interested mental health professionals, people who are comfortable working with the bi community. And I'm really hoping that the individuals on that list will enjoy receiving this newsletter as well, and hopefully they'll want to be a part of this organization as well. But as far as things stand right now, I looked all over the country, and there's really not an organization that sort of ties it all together. But that list is really great if you have any listeners who are looking for a professional to speak with regarding mental health issues.
Thank you. I'll put that link in on the website. All right.
Oh, yes. All links will be provided on the website.
I was just going to ask you, do you want me to switch around? But you went ahead and did it anyway.
Okay.
Sorry?
Okay. Oh, we're bored with saying things the way we usually do, so I was going to ask if you wanted to switch our last things. It's nothing to do with you. I'm sorry.
It might be a good hitter, but I'm cool with the way that we're reading the last two lines.
All right.
You can just try anything once, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh God, when we were staging for Pride, I had every pun, and every time somebody made one of those double entendres, I was all over them. I was kind of hoping for a comedian award in the staging area, but they don't give them out.
They don't give them out, huh? Okay, I really appreciate you coming on today. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think we covered a lot of it, but I just want to mention that if anyone wants to reach out on Facebook, they can. I guess you guys will put the links on the website. But if anyone's interested in being a part of this emerging Bi Healers Network, mm-hmm. I would love to hear from them. They can contact me through Facebook. And I think I'm also going to give you guys my email address, which will be available on your site, too.
Uh-huh. Awesome. Wonderful. Perfect. Great. All righty. I want to remind everybody, you're not wrong, you're not broken, and you are not alone. You are just a human being, and you are bisexual. Oh, and I'm sorry. Before we go, I want to just say I want to plug AJ's books because we mentioned her. You guys, go get Queer Greer and Vuto. Is that right?
Vuto, yeah. Queer Greer, Vuto. There's another book, I think, called Choice. And then
yes.
I think she's got one more out, and she's been working on something with a prisoner project. I mean, she's just mm-hmm. so great with intersectionality in her literature.
Oh, yeah. I sent her our poster child, who was on death row for 9 years, to, like, give her some hands in it.
She's still working
with everybody.
That she's still on that project. Well, alrighty, yeah. I just wanted to mention, thank you so much. Thank you for being on.
Thanks.
Yeah,
bye.
It's great. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
This is Saint Zero from The Headphone Bleed, and you're listening to The Bicast. Symptoms may include an open mind, sense of community, shinier hair, and whiter teeth.
Results may vary.
You can catch me every Saturday night at www.live365.com/stations/Saint Zero.
The views expressed on The Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or The Bicast crew.
Nip it back.